whenever we set our hearts to do the will of God, there's often opposition to that. So we need to fight. We need to fight the good fight. We cannot be passive and submissive to evil. We need to deal with it. We need to put the devil in his place, because God has authorized us to do so by the weapons of our warfare that he has entrusted to us, and that is the Holy Spirit. Amen? And God has authorized us because he's given us his Spirit. The authority that we have comes from the Holy Spirit in us. Amen? It is God working in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So it is going to be a struggle even to come to church on Sunday morning. How many know what I'm talking about? How many here have ever struggled about coming to church on Sunday morning? Amen. How many know it's because there are opposing forces that don't want you here? How many already have been blessed by the Lord this morning? Okay, if you didn't raise your hand, it's your fault. You got to open the door and let them in. Amen. But see, the devil wants, he's a thief, and he wants to rob. He wants to kill. He wants to destroy. So we're in a fight, and we can't yield to that voice. We cannot listen to that voice. We cannot allow even our emotions to tell us what to do. God gave us self-control. It is a fruit of his Spirit to be able to tell our bodies what they are going to do, not our bodies telling us what we're going to do. Come on, somebody. I want to pick on Phil this morning. Phil and Elva, these guys, sometimes they're just dragging in here because they've had a lot of health issues. Amen. But God has healed you over and over again, sustained you, and he's given you the strength to be here today. But these guys, they determine to obey God even when they're not feeling good, because they know that God has something not only for them, but their very presence here today makes a difference. Right. Your presence makes a difference. Why? Because the Spirit of the Lord is in you. Yeah. If you have the Holy Spirit, then you are going to affect change in your world. Just by virtue of God being in you can change atmospheres. When we live in the Spirit, we can get used to living in the Spirit, and what's actually supernatural can become normal to us, a normal way of living, because we're just used to having Jesus, amen, and walking with the Lord and having him in our lives. But when you go into places that are dark, places that people don't have Christ, there is a witness, amen, through your life, wherever you go. And there are opposing forces. The devil doesn't like you because you are the light. And he loves the darkness. And the people that want to live in darkness aren't going to like you either, because the light hurts their eyes. And I was one of them. Stay away from those creepy Christian people. Not the hypocrites, but you know, the ones that we just knew they had something else going on for them. But I was struggling with the fact that I still wanted my sin. I didn't want to give it up. And it was the fear of God that woke me up one day. And the fact that I was going to spend eternity in hell because I was in rebellion. And I was not willing to give my life over to the one that could save me. Do you understand? God didn't ask you just to give him your spare change, your leftovers, what's left. He wants you and I to give him our best, to give him our first, to offer our bodies even back to him as living sacrifices. We were saved with purpose. Amen. Not just to occupy a seat, but to be a partner with Christ in the ministry on the earth. Amen. The ministry of Christ on the earth. Each one of us have been called, and many are called, but few are chosen. You know, God waits for you and I to respond. The devil wants us to procrastinate. He wants us to pick and choose when we'll obey. He wants us to pick and choose where we will obey. how we'll obey. But God is looking for loyalty. God, his eyes roam to and fro throughout the earth looking for those whose hearts are loyal to him. Those who say, yes, Lord, here am I. Send me. Let me be a part with what you're doing. When Jesus called his disciples, it says immediately they left their nets, amen, and they followed him. When God calls us, he calls us in a season when we can be saved. Do you understand? There is an opportune time to be saved. There is a time that God appoints for man. We have a certain number of days and a certain window of opportunity to be saved. It's not when we decide. A lot of people think one of these days, maybe on my deathbed, I'll make a quick prayer and I'll get everything right with God. You know, that's a lie of the pit. That's a lie of the devil. The devil wants to steal. He wants to rob. He wants to destroy your life. He wants to take away from you what God wants to give you. He wants to keep it from you. We've got to learn how to fight. We cannot be passive in this war. If you think that Christianity is just simply being passive and neutral, you're going to get stomped. Many people are stomped by the enemy because they don't fight. Yet the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, of human origin, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. God wants us to know who we are in him and be about his business. Amen. Jesus called us to go about doing good and destroying the works of the devil. Amen. And enforcing the victory that he has already overcome for us. Jesus overcame the world. So he said, be of good cheer. Rejoice in the Lord. The Lord has come. The Lord is with you. As he spoke to Gideon, he said, thou mighty man of valor. He was hiding out in the wine press, right? Sifting wheat. He was afraid of his enemies. And the angel of the Lord shows up and he says, greetings, thou mighty man of valor. Who, me? Do you understand? It's not of us. It's of him. It's his ability in us. We have to trust. And we have to fight. We have to say no to the devil. We have to say no to sin. How many know you got to say no to sin? Yeah. Amen. And yes to God. I've discovered something when I start to say yes to God. I'm not preoccupied with sin anymore. I'm living for him. And God set me free from the power of sin so I can serve the Lord now. So my life is to be given over to him for his service. Your life is to be given over to him for his service. Not to serve yourself, not to serve sin, but to serve the Lord. You've been set free from the power of sin through the cross of Jesus, through the blood. And the weapons that God gives to us are mighty. They're effective. Now, I want to talk about something that I've talked about before, but I want to... It's something that we have to be reminded of. And that is the importance of being vocal about what we believe. About being vocal about our faith. Speaking up. Speaking out. How many know that God has given you and I a voice for a reason? It's not to slander and to gossip. Amen. But it's to bless the Lord and to bless others. He gave us a voice. It's kind of like the launching pad, if you will, to release, amen, the power of God. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. And those who love it will eat its fruit. So we are not to lend our voices to the adversary, but to lend them to the Lord. And we are to speak for the Lord. There is a time when we need to be quiet. Turn to your neighbor and say, amen. But there's a time when we need to speak up.
Yeah.
And we need to speak out. The early church, the early Christians were referred to as Christ's followers, but they're also referred to as Jesus callers. Jesus callers. So the title of today's message is, Are You a Jesus Caller? Jesus callers. How many have found that there is deliverance in the name of Jesus? There is power in that name. So, is calling on the name of the Lord, you see it throughout Scripture, they called upon the name of the Lord, the same as prayer? Yes and no. Calling on someone means to invoke them, their presence. If you see a brother or sister across the courtyard from you, amen, you call out their name, amen, to get their attention. And so, calling on the name of the Lord is not something that is done silently, but audibly and loudly. Woo-hoo. Hebrews 5:7 says, Jesus, who in the days of his flesh, when he was here on earth in the form of a man, when he had offered up prayers and supplications, that means supplications is like an earnest entreaty, effectual, fervent prayer, with loud cries and tears to him, who is that, the Father, who was able to save him from death and was heard because of his godly fear. If Jesus cried out to the Father, then shouldn't we? If Jesus cried out to the Father with loud cries and tears, to him who was able to save him from death. Now we know Jesus came for this reason, to die, so he wasn't talking about the physical death. He was talking about Hades, that he would not go to Hades or to this place of departed spirits, that he would not remain in the grave. He was praying that the Father would deliver him from the second death. He cried out. We see that in the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus sweat great drops of blood. He was in agony and anguish in his soul. And he cried out fervently to the Father. And it says that he was heard because of his godly fear. There's a time to be quiet and to whisper a prayer in the morning, but there's also a time when you need to shout unto God, amen, with a voice of triumph. There's a time to shout, there's a time to sing, amen. Praise is an audible thing. Praise is a weapon of our warfare. He inhabits the praises of his people. Audible praise is important. Can you say amen? The enemy wants to shut you and I up. He does not want us exercising our faith by speaking the truth. Because it is actually by the hearing of the word that faith comes alive in people. Amen? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. So the word has to be spoken. God's looking for people who will speak for him, who will lend themselves. If you're able to talk to your neighbor, you're able to talk for Jesus. Someone say amen.
Amen.
You don't have to be fancy. You don't have to be an oratorical genius. Is that a word? I think so. It is now, right? We created a new one. Put that in the Webster's. It keeps changing all the time. So, but, you know, God's just looking for availability. But hear me. I can tell you from personal experience that crying out to God, shouting to God at times, calling out audibly to God has brought deliverance to my life, has set me free, has broken chains off my life, has driven the enemy out of my house. driven them out of my hair. What's left of it? It drives the enemy out. Praise is a weapon of your warfare, and it is mighty to destroying the enemy, sending confusion upon the enemy. Now, two old prophets in the Old Testament, Jeremiah, in Lamentations chapter 3, verse 55, it says, I called on your name, O Lord, from the lowest pit. You have heard my voice. Do not hide your ear from my sighing. This is a spiritual breathing. Have you ever been in a place where you're just sighing in the spirit? Deep anguish. From my cry for help. You drew near on the day I called to you. Isaiah chapter 12, verse 2. Prophet Isaiah, behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For Yah, the Lord, is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. Therefore, with joy, you will draw water from the wells of salvation. And in that day, you will say, praise the Lord, call upon his name. With joy, you shall draw waters from the wells of Yeshua, where's what we get today is Jesus, amen, calling on the name of the Lord Jesus. Do you see the connection between that and praising and calling upon the name of the Lord? Declare his deeds among the people. Make mention that his name is exalted. Sing, and all these things are audible expressions to the Lord, for he has done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout. Well, I just don't believe doing that in our church. Well, what does God say? We're a noisy bunch for a reason, amen? Cry out and shout, O inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in your midst. Remember R.W. Schambach? Remember R.W. Schambach? He said, somebody came to me one time and says, you know, God's not hard of hearing. And R.W. said, well, God's not nervous either. Oh, it was good. That word in Hebrew, cry out, means to be cheerful, to sound clear, to bellow. Cry aloud, lift up, rejoice, make to shine or shout. The word shout here means a stridulous sound. That is to shout aloud for joy, cry out, be joyful, greatly rejoice, to triumph. How many know he's talking about cry out and shout, O inhabitants of Zion, for great is the Holy One in your midst. When you have overcome, when there has been a victory, there is a thing called a victory shout. Amen? Now, isn't it interesting that sometimes the shout comes after the victory, but other times the shout precedes the victory? Oh, the enemy hates this message. Because we are Jesus callers, are we not? We call out that name. We are not ashamed of that name. And we're not ashamed of his gospel. For it is the power of God unto salvation to all who believe. So, how does God become my salvation, my strength, and my song? How can I draw this water of life? By calling on the name of the Lord. Singing to him, praising him, crying out, shouting to him. I know we all have an opinion. Amen. As many of us are in here, there's that many opinions probably about things. But you know what? I need to submit my opinion to God's will and God's word. What does God say? My opinion means nothing. If it doesn't agree with God, amen, it's illegal. A lot of us are just basically wanting to do our own thing. So I hear what it says, but then we pick and choose what we're going to obey. Well, I like that. I kind of like looking at those scriptures over there. They make me feel good. Oh, I don't know about that one over there. That one's kind of harsh. it offends my flesh, so no thank you. You know, I kind of like going to this church because they make me feel good here. I can bask in my lukewarmness, my apathy and complacency. How many know God wants His people on fire for Him? Amen. Alive, our zeal to be inspired by the Spirit of God. And do you understand that even as Samson had to shake himself, in the Spirit, you and I need to shake ourselves. We need to stir up the gift of God within us. We need to be aggressive in the spirit realm. Amen. We cannot be passive. We must be aggressive in the spirit realm. And that means there's times when I need to, when I'm feeling pressed down and oppressed, I need to speak out the name of Jesus. Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Bless you, Lord. Glory to your name. Hallelujah. Bless you, Jesus. We praise you, Jesus. We call upon your name, Lord. Hallelujah. Remember Gail Meacham, time, and I've adopted this, I've taken it because it was so good. She said, praise is toxic to the devil. Praise is toxic to the devil. So if you want to defeat the devil, you got to be a person of praise. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Bless you, Jesus. Praise your name. The demons hate it. Come on. They can only handle so much of it. Well, we can tolerate three songs. Two fast and one slow. We can tolerate that, the demons say. Oh boy, they're going for the long run today. I'm getting pretty nervous. I think I just remembered I have something to do. Some of you know what I'm talking about, right? Sometimes, giving God praise and the glory and the presence and the light that Christ brings makes the devil very uncomfortable. And if he's been hanging out in you, he's going to be uncomfortable in you, and he's going to be talking to you and say, we need to get out of here. No, you need to tell him, you need to get out of here. Amen? You need to get out of me. Don't be listening to that other voice. Sometimes people are delivered from demons simply through praise and worship. God set me free that way. I just got on my knees. I got sick and tired of the devil and being bound by the devil. And I got on my knees and I started crying out to God. I mean crying out, shouting to God and pouring my heart out to God. And that enemy just couldn't handle it anymore. And he just started coming up. A bunch of them started coming out. And I got up off my knees and I was set free in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I'm telling you the truth. God will bring deliverance if you learn to be a Jesus caller. You begin to talk and speak that name and shout that name. There's times you can't be passive about this thing. You need to be aggressive in the spirit realm. Now, when did this begin? Well, it began in the third generation. A man named Enosh, the son of Seth, son of Adam. Genesis 4:25, it says, Adam knew his wife again, and she bore a son, and named him Seth, for God has appointed another seed for me instead of Abel, whom Cain killed. And verse 26, and as for Seth, to him also a son was born, and he named him Enosh. Then men began to call on the name of the Lord. They began to call on the Lord at that time. And then you see it throughout Scripture. You see it with Abraham, Genesis 12:8. If you can write them down, I don't have time to go through them. But Isaac, Genesis 26:25. These are just a few. Moses called on the Lord, Deuteronomy 4:7. Job 12:4. Jabez, Samson, Samuel, David, Jonah, Elijah, Jeremiah. On and on and on throughout Scripture. If you look it up, calling on the name of the Lord, called on the name of the Lord. These men and women called on the name of the Lord. It was an audible expression of crying out to God. It was audible and it was loud. The early church was known for their zeal for God and the fact that they called out or shouted the name of the Lord. They called them Jesus callers and they were seeking to stop them. Religious people will try to stop you from expressing and speaking. Come on. The name of the Lord. The truth. Oh, you're getting a little carried away, brother. Somebody was sharing with me, and I've heard it before, where they're being warned not to get too carried away with this Christianity stuff. Anybody ever accuse you of that? I hope so. I hope you're getting accused of that. Are you one of those Jesus freaks? Yes, guilty as charged. Hallelujah. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. And I've never heard of anybody going too far with Jesus. However, I have heard of people not going far enough. They haven't opened their life completely. They're just kind of dabbling with Christianity. They're not going to be saved until they give them the whole thing. I had to come to repentance. I had to repent. I had to turn away from myself before Jesus became Lord of my life. Come on, somebody, say amen.
Amen.
The prophet Joel said that in the latter days, come on, are we living in those days? That men would call upon the name of the Lord. It shall come to pass, Joel chapter 2, verse 32, that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that word saved means delivered or rescued. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be what? Delivered or rescued. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there shall be deliverance, as the Lord has said, among the remnant whom the Lord calls. Now, many people have not made a connection between calling on the name of the Lord and being filled with the Holy Spirit. I don't know about you, but speaking in tongues is a cooperative effort between you and the Holy Spirit. And it has to be audible. Amen. You have to speak it. Sometimes we'll have people come up. We pray for them. I say, now, you need to start calling out the name of the Lord audibly. Call on Him. Amen. He's the baptizer with the Holy Spirit. Call on the name of Jesus. Nothing. Nothing. And I say, listen, you need to speak it out. You need to speak it out. Nothing. It doesn't happen. Why? Because we need to get into obedience. God gave us a voice for a reason. He gave us the ability to speak. And again, the weapons of our warfare are not of human origin, but they're mighty through God. And when you and I cooperate with the Spirit of God and we speak what He is speaking, there is an evidence of that. There's a manifestation of God's presence, of His glory. Whenever you speak what God is speaking, there is life in it. That's why Jesus said, these words I speak unto you are spirit and they are life. When He spoke what He heard the Father speaking, and therefore it imparted life to the hearers. The same thing is true about you and I. When we start to speak the Word of God, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And for the first 100 years, the church used to stand, and often they, when they read, most of the time they read audibly the Word. They didn't read silently. And when they prayed audibly. There's a time to pray silently. God hears that. But there's something about calling out, shouting out the name of the Lord that can bring down strongholds, amen? That can crush the enemy. That can put the enemy into confusion. That can drive them up when they picked up the Ark of the Covenant and they were getting ready to move. Because the Lord was directing them by the cloud, remember, by day, in the fire by night. Whenever the cloud moved, Israel was supposed to move with that cloud. That cloud represented what? The Holy Spirit. Amen? And so whenever the cloud would move, they would take up the Ark of the Covenant, which represented God's presence on earth. Hello? And they would say, let God arise, and His enemies be scattered. Let's say that. Let God arise and His enemies be scattered. Let's do it again. Let God arise and His enemies be scattered. Woo. You sense that? God wants you to learn this, to start practicing this in your daily life. Start speaking it out. Speaking audibly. Amen. the Word of God over your life, in your home, in your situation. Words are powerful. If there's been curses spoken over family and over your home, you got to go in there with the blessing. Amen. And start speaking the blessings of God over one another. Amen. Over your children. If you've been cursing your children and telling them they're lazy, they're no good, they'll never amount to anything, you're actually cursing them. You need to turn that around and start speaking the blessings. The Lord is blessing you. He's keeping you. He's causing His face to shine upon you. The Lord has a hope for you and a destiny and a purpose. Hallelujah. And it's glorious. We start speaking the blessings of God over one another. The Bible says to bless and don't curse. How do you cancel out a curse? With a blessing. Bless those who curse you. Ah. So if somebody curses you, bless them. Cancels it out. It's a higher declaration. So there's a connection between being filled with the Holy Spirit and calling on the name of the Lord. And we'll get into that in a little bit. So Stephen, the first martyr in Scripture, remember Stephen? It says, as they stoned Stephen in Acts 7:59, he was calling on God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. He cried out to the Lord. Saul of Tarsus, you know, he got permission to jail everyone who called on the name of the Lord. He was told to get rid of these Jesus callers. Get rid of them. And then later on, Paul is the one who said this, the Lord is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Romans 10:12-13. If calling on the name of the Lord is biblical and it was practiced in the early church, why aren't many believers doing it today? How many know that God's word is forever settled in heaven? It doesn't change. He's still the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. The God they called on in the Old Testament is the God we call on today in the New Testament. And calling on the name of the Lord is a New Testament practice. It is a discipline to call on the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I can tell you there's times when I have felt an oppression, a heaviness come on me. There's a lot of spiritual warfare going on around us. Amen. We're living in dark days. And if you just kind of tolerate that, are you hearing me, somebody? If you want to tolerate that, you can be squashed right down and snuffed right out very easily by the enemy. But if you say, you know what, I don't have to tolerate this. God has given me the authorization, amen, to take authority in my situation and take authority over myself, tell myself what to do, and I'm going to say to my soul, bless the Lord, O my soul. I will bless the Lord and give Him glory. An act of my will and cooperation with the truth. Amen. And when I begin to cry out to God, there's times when all I could do is say, Jesus! And all of a sudden that thing just goes, boo, right off. And I get back into the flow. Stir up the gift of God. Sometimes it feels like our spirit is like dammed up, you know. God wants you to knock that dam down. Break open that portal, amen. Break it open with praise. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Glory to your name. Press in. Hallelujah. Shout to the Lord. Just press in until you break through. Oh, we like the drive-through Christianity, I know. Well, I asked, nothing happened, so it must not be His will. Right? All right, God, you got 3.5 seconds to answer this. That didn't happen. See? I knew it wasn't true. No, you're unbelieving. Yeah. It's your lack of faith. If I believe, I'll persevere. If I believe, I'll continue. I'll press in. Come on, we got to break through. There's times when we come in here together and there's an oppression here. It's very rare, but once in a while it happens. It can be oppressive. What do? We say, well, we're going to take our time. We're going to wait on the Lord. We're going to start doing our Jesus calling. Amen. Calling on His name. And God's going to remove the clouds. God's going to drive out the enemies. He's going to arise in our midst. And when the Lord arises in our midst, His enemies are scattered. When He arises in you, the enemy is also scattered. Come on, somebody. You want to walk in freedom? Walk in a life of praise and thanksgiving. That's how we're filled with the Holy Spirit. We're singing and making melody in our hearts to the Lord. Right? Also singing to one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. So, all right. So why? Are you ready? Why call on the name of the Lord? Here are several reasons. Number one, the first one, very important, to be rescued from sin. Romans 10:13, for whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So we need to open up ourselves in order to call on the name of the Lord. Remember, Isaiah said, in order for you to be able to receive this living water, you're going to have to shout to God. You're going to have to praise Him. Amen? Try it. You're going to like it. Number two, calling on the Lord will rescue you from distress. Psalms 18 and verse 6, in my distress I called upon the Lord and cried out to my God. He heard my voice from His temple, and my cry came before Him, even to His ears. Number three, calling on the Lord will rescue you from trouble. Psalms 50, verse 15, call upon me in the day of trouble. The Lord says, I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me. How many have been doing that? Amen. How many have called on the Lord in a time of trouble? Amen. Quite often, probably, right? Yeah. Has He come through for you? Don't give up. Keep on pressing in. Amen. Keep on believing. Calling on the Lord, number four, will rescue you from sorrow. Psalms 116, verses 3 and 4. The pains of death encompassed me, and the pangs of Sheol laid hold of me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then I called upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I implore you, deliver my soul. Guys, this is something we have to practice. This is something that we have to do. We have to be obedient. We have to cooperate with the Spirit of God. If God is telling you to speak out, speak out. If He's telling you to be quiet, be quiet. But there's times when God says, I want you to speak my name. I've given you the authorization to do so. Invoke my divine influence in your situation. And I found the easiest way to be filled with the Holy Spirit is by calling on the Lord. Calling out to Jesus. Because this is how we drink of His life. And I've seen and I witnessed sometimes people that they come and they're so bound up that they can't even open their mouth. They can't even give praise. And sometimes it's because there's no praise in them because they're not born again yet. They don't have the Spirit of God. If you don't have the Spirit of God, you're not going to have praise in your heart. You got to be saved. You got to be born again. If Christ is not in you, you're not His child. If the Spirit of God is in you, there will be a praise. Amen. And it may be something that may be just slightly there, but all you got to do is get into cooperation with what the Spirit is telling you to do and start speaking what He's speaking. And all of a sudden it's like opening the dam and the floodwaters will come out. To Jesus said to those who believe in me, as the scripture said, out of their belly will flow rivers of living water. Hallelujah. You got to stir it up. You got to break up the fallow ground. Sometimes you got to, amen, take authority over your situation and say, wait a minute, I'm not going to allow depression to oppress me. I am going to fight it. I'm going to resist the devil. And he will flee from me. Not maybe, he will flee from me. Does God not want His people to have joy? It's a fruit of His Spirit, isn't it? So God doesn't want gloomy, pessimistic, depressed people. Start aligning your conversation with what is true, what is good, what is lovely, what is of a good report. Start speaking the praises of God, amen, instead of cursing your situation. Instead of complaining, start giving thanks instead. Amen. Align yourself with what is right, and God will bring you the victory. How do I call? What are the ways to call upon the Lord? Number one, you got to call upon Him with a pure heart. Because the heart is the source of our calling. It's got to be pure. We need an undivided affection for the Lord. No other gods before Him. Sometimes we're double-minded. Sometimes we've got too much other stuff going on. Are you hearing me? The enemy is good at distraction. When we come together, we need to put all that stuff aside. Amen. When you come, amen, before the Lord, you got to put all that stuff aside. You got to say, no other gods, no distractions, nothing else. It's illegal. Amen. I want my devotion. I want my time with God to be uninterrupted, unhindered. And if you're finding yourself fighting a battle where your mind is just completely tormented by thoughts, anybody been there before? What do? Start calling on the name of the Lord. Start shouting the name of Jesus and start taking authority. You fight the good fight. Amen. You don't tolerate it. You say, no more, devil. Get out. I command you in Jesus' name. Get out. Get mad at the devil. Don't tolerate it. Don't put up with it. He'll beat you down. He'll snuff you out. He'll put a gag on you and stick you in the corner. You say, no way. I'm not going to let the devil steal my joy. I'm going to rejoice. I'm going to get into agreement with what God says I already have. I already have joy. I have righteousness. I have peace already. I just need to get into agreement with that. I need to start believing that. Hello. Faith in what God said. So I'm feeling gloomy and pessimistic. Is that from God? No. So I need to get into agreement with God and with His Word. And I need to fight that. I need to resist that. I need to refuse to be subject to that. And I start calling on the name of the Lord. Start calling out to the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And we're going to practice that in just a few minutes. So get ready. Pure lips. We got to be careful what we're saying. I mean, James 3:10 says a fountain shouldn't be producing both bitter and sweet at the same time. You got to keep your mouth, amen, pure. Be careful what you're allowing out of your lips. You can speak curses or death over your situation. Speak life. I know some people criticize that. Oh, that's the occult. No, it's not. It's the Word of God. Right? The religious spirit would oppose that. Clean hands. How about our works? When we're calling on the name of the Lord, we should be calling on Him with what? Clean hands. Psalms 24:3 says, who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in His holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart. Who has not lifted up his soul to an idol, nor sworn deceitfully. He shall receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. All right, so we got to keep our actions, right, clean too. What am I doing with my life? What am I doing with my time? What am I thinking on? What am I meditating on? What am I allowing through the eye gate? What am I allowing through the ear gate? Amen? What kind of music do I listen to? What am I allowing out of the mouth gate? What am I saying? We need to have an open mouth. We need to open our mouths wide and call on the name of the Lord. Psalms 116 and 1 says, I love the Lord because He has heard my voice and my supplications, because He has inclined His ear to me. Therefore, I will call upon Him as long as I live. How about the power of your testimony? Do we not overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony? Coming into agreement, remembering what the Lord has done, what He did then, He can do now. Amen? And I can bring that experience from then into the now as I declare it, because the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So as I speak and testify of what the Lord has done then, prophetically it brings it into the now. Are you getting that? Yes, and as they begin to speak about the Holy Spirit fell on those who heard. They were testifying of what God did then, and it came upon them in the now. We've talked about miracles before. Had somebody testify about a miracle, And while they were talking about a specific miracle, somebody else got the same miracle while they were simply sharing their testimony about the miracle. Isn't that amazing? The power of the testimony. Hallelujah. Do we not need to be speaking out for God? So calling on the Lord is an open, audible crying out to Him. It's not a silent thing. And when we call on the Lord, we're actually stirring ourselves up. We're getting the spiritual juices flowing, if you will. And you shouldn't need a preacher to coach you. Okay, repeat after me. Sometimes that's a good way to start. Amen. You need somebody to help you. But after a while, you start to say, you know what? I just need to do this. I just need to give God praise. Can you not find something to give the Lord thanks for today? Amen. Thank God I got out of bed. I may have had a headache, but I got out of bed. Hey, you understand? There's always something. We got to lend ourselves to thanksgiving, to gratitude, to praise, to blessing. Amen. Aligning ourselves with what God wants to establish, what God wants to accomplish, what He wants to do. And then in Isaiah 64:7, Isaiah was prophesying to a backslidden Israel, and he said, there's no one who calls on your name, who stirs himself up to take hold of you. He says, this is the condition of the people. The people were asleep spiritually. They were backslidden. He says, there's no one who calls on your name who stirs himself up to take hold of you. That means to wake yourself up. We've got to wake ourselves up. You've got to get a hold of yourself and say, wait a minute. You've been asleep too long. You've been in apathy and complacency too long. It's time to arise. Amen. Wake up the mighty man, the mighty woman of war. Amen. Stir up. Shake yourself like Samson did. Amen. And go out and beat some Philistine butt. And the Philistines are the enemy. Amen. Start speaking, declaring, even over your life, over your family, in your community. When we pray, we make decrees. We say, Lord, this place shall be a place of peace. This will be a city of refuge. It will be a place where there is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. We declare, we decree there will be salvation and healing and deliverance in Jesus' name. In my family, in my home, there will be salvation and healing and deliverance. In my home, there will be peace and there will be joy. Hallelujah. And you start driving the enemy out because it's toxic to him. We say, Lord, arise and drive out your enemies. How does he arise? When we praise him, we release, amen, spiritual weapons of warfare. I want to talk about my wife a little bit today. I won't say anything bad. Her and I were in a very desperate situation in our lives. Our life was a shambles. Some of you can identify with that. And we were crying out for help. And I didn't even know where to go for help. Really. Except that God met me in my bedroom when I cried out to him. And said, Jesus, help me. Save me. Rescue me. Deliver me. I cried out. Called out Jesus. I mean, with everything that was in my being. And God just came into that room. I don't know how else to say it. And swept through me from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. And all the noise and the confusion and the torment was gone. And I had peace. Unexplainable peace. And my wife and I were fighting so bad. That she couldn't sleep for weeks. It went on for months. Anxiety attacks. About ready to lose her mind. We were on the verge of divorce. I'd already made preparations. I was planning it. God reached down and touched her too, but he started bringing her. Some Korean ladies got a hold of her, dragged her kicking and screaming to church. But actually, she was just looking for, you know, some help, you know, at the time. And she didn't really know the Lord at that time, but she was starting to go to church. But God, shortly after that, and I was radically saved. I don't know how else to say it, except that all of a sudden I started hungering. I was in the Word. I was going to church. I was like, man, everything was about Jesus now. Even the band I was with thought I had really lost it. And after a while, they were just kind of like, we're done. Can't do Black Sabbath and talk about Jesus, okay? It just doesn't work. And so her and I got together. And I got a word of knowledge one night, and the first time I remember getting one, and I said, honey, God's going to fill you with the Holy Spirit tonight. So we got down on our knees. We were newborns in the Lord, but just new enough to say, we're going to cry out to God. And she lifted her hands and started crying and calling out to Jesus. And I'm telling you, God just miraculously saved her, baptized her with the Holy Ghost, spoke in tongues, hallelujah. And that anxiety, those demons were gone, never again. Amen. She's had a problem with that. God healed her heart. Because she repented in that moment, she had been repentant towards God. And she cried out to God with a desperation, and God heard her call. He heard my cry, and God will hear your cry if you're willing to cry out to Him and really go after and pursue Him. Shout to God if necessary, but call out. So I want to ask us today, as a body, and even for the sake of those who are here, and I know there's many even here today, you're dealing with all kinds of stuff in your life. You've been dealing with oppression. The enemy has been squashing you. He's been stealing your testimony. He's been robbing from your life. Some of you are being tormented in your minds. Some of you are having trouble sleeping at night. I'm here to tell you that if you get desperate and you really get in mean business with God today, and you're really willing to give God the whole thing, the whole offering. I'm not talking about make a deal with God, but surrender your life to Jesus Christ. And you're willing to cry out to Him audibly. I mean, shout to pierce the ear kind of call on Jesus today. I believe that God is going to set you free. Just like He did us, He'll set you free. Jesus said, if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father. Amen. Hallelujah. But He said, if you deny me, I'll also deny you. So don't be ashamed to call on the name of the Lord. Don't be ashamed of His testimony. Amen. Don't be ashamed to let people know who you believe, who you stand for. Or you want to be saved, or you want to be delivered maybe today. Maybe you just need some deliverance in your life today. I want you just to stand up, and we're going to do this thing together. Amen. Hallelujah. Just everybody, let's all stand up. Hallelujah. And if you be honest enough with me today, just by a lifting of hands today, say there are some things in my life that I need broken. There's some things I need deliverance from today. Maybe you need to break an addiction in your life, and it's been plaguing you. You've been trying, but you haven't been able to get a hold of it. God can set you free from that, but you're going to have to call upon Him. You're going to have to go after God with every fiber of your being today. Cry out to His name, the name of Jesus Christ. Amen? And believe that whosoever, that means you, calls upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered. Shall be saved, shall be rescued. Father God, today in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, we ask You to release Your anointing right now. God, we ask You to break the yoke of the oppressor. God, we ask You to cast out and drive out by Your word the demons, God, that are tormenting the people that are here today, God. In the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, we take authority over all the unclean spirits. And in the name of Jesus Christ, Satan, we command you, take your hands off God's people right now. The Lord rebuke you. We command you, go now in the name of Jesus Christ. We break your power. We cancel all the assignments of the enemy. And we cancel all the powers of the occult and witchcraft and family generational curses. We cancel them now in the name of Jesus Christ. And I want you right now to shout to Jesus! Shout, Jesus! Rescue me! Rescue me! Rescue me! Have mercy, Jesus! Satan, go! The Lord rebuke you, Satan. Go now. Loose them in Jesus' name. Hey! Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Hallelujah!